Welcome to the deep dive. So, South Africa is really in a tough spot right now. You've got severe climate impacts, droughts, floods, you name it, crashing right into these, well, massive social issues. Poverty, inequality, and unemployment over 35%. It's what they call the triple challenge, isn't it?
Exactly. And it means climate action isn't some future luxury. It's an immediate economic and social necessity.
Right. You can't separate them.
You really can't. And that tension is precisely the focus of our source today. We're digging into the framework for a just transition in South Africa. This
Yeah.
came out in 2022 from the Presidential Climate Commission, the PCC.
Okay.
The idea is to bring some coherence, coordinate the massive effort needed. And it's dedicated to the memory of Mac Magwarela, who was really key to its development.
A vital piece of work, then. So our mission is to unpack that framework. Look at the vision, the
Oh, this is the
principles.
plan. What's the big picture goal here?
Yeah, what is the core goal? When you talk about a just transition, what does that actually mean according to this framework? How do you decarbonize without just creating new problems?
Well, the defining statement is pretty clear. It aims for a quality life for all South Africans. That's key. And at the same time, building climate resilience and hitting net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. So it's ambitious.
Quality of life for all. That sounds like more than just emissions targets.
Oh, absolutely. It explicitly says the Just Transition, or JT, must contribute to decent work for all, social inclusion, and the eradication of poverty.
Wow. Okay. So it's tackling poverty head on.
Directly. The framework insists that people have to be central to the decisions, especially those most affected, the poor, women, young people.
Makes sense. You can't impose this from the top down.
No, exactly. And that leads us to the guiding principles. There are three core ones, and they're actually built on the South African Constitution's Bill of Rights.
Okay, what are these three pillars? Three types of justice, I imagine.
You got it. First up is distributive justice. This is really about fairness in who bears the costs and who gets the benefits. The risks and opportunities need to be shared fairly. Workers and communities hit hardest by the shift away from, say, coal can't just be left behind.
So it's about spreading the new opportunities,
Right.
green jobs, skills.
Precisely. Equipping people for the future industries, not just cushioning the blow from the old ones.
Right, what's the second one?
Second is restorative justice. This one looks backwards, in a way. It's about addressing historical harms. Think about the health impacts, the environmental damage in areas dominated by fossil fuels for decades. It's about acknowledging that and actively working to sort of heal the people and the land.
That's powerful, acknowledging the past damage. Okay, and the third.
The third is procedural justice. This is all about empowerment. It means workers, communities, small businesses, they need to be supported to actually define their own development paths. It's that spirit of nothing about us without us.
Okay, empowerment. That feels crucial, especially when you think about specific places facing huge changes. Which brings us to the hot spots, right? The sectors most at risk.
Exactly. The framework flags four main value chains. The big one, facing the most immediate disruption, is the coal value chain.
Makes sense.
Yeah. In 2021, it employed around 93,000 people. And it was incredibly concentrated. Like 80% of coal production is in Mpumalanga province.
So if those jobs go without a plan,
You risk creating ghost towns. That procedural justice element, community-led diversification, becomes absolutely critical there. Otherwise, the social impact could be devastating.
Huge risk. What are the other three sectors?
The auto sector is another. It needs to shift towards electric vehicles, which is a whole different supply chain. Then tourism, very vulnerable to extreme weather. And finally, agriculture. This one's already facing huge climate volatility, unpredictable weather.
And water usage, right? Isn't farming a big water user?
Massive, over 60% of all national water usage. So agriculture is under pressure from climate impacts and from the need to adapt water use. It's a real pinch point.
Okay, so coal, auto, tourism, agriculture, major parts of the economy facing huge shifts.
Huge shifts. And the framework essentially provides the blueprint for managing all that. It covers everything from skills development, industrial strategy, social safety nets, governance, finance, the whole package.
It really lays out the scale of the challenge.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And just to give a sense of that scale, the document mentions estimates suggesting South Africa needs at least, get this, US $250 billion over the next 30 years.
$250 billion.
Billion,
Yeah.
with a B. And that's just for transforming the energy system away from coal. That figure doesn't even include the cost for adapting to the climate impacts we're already seeing.
Wow. That really puts it in perspective.
It does. It underscores that this isn't just policy tinkering. It's a massive national undertaking that requires unprecedented collective action and likely significant international support.